Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
1 Kings chapter 10, and I'm going to start there. Look at some other scriptures tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll begin right here, and then we'll go from here. 1 Kings chapter 10, and let's... Well, you know, let me just start out by saying, you know, I'm going to talk about living a life of excellence tonight. Yeah. And so let's just start out with that. And so we'll just look at some things and we'll go from here. I'm not sure what all we're going to say tonight, but we'll get into this. 1 Kings chapter 10, let me see, verse 4. This is the Queen of Sheba when she came to see Solomon. It says, "And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat or the food of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearer and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord," or his entry by the way he went up to the house of the Lord, "the Bible says there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in my own land and of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed it not. I believe not the words.'" In other words, she said, I heard about you. I heard about, you know, your kingdom, which is, I didn't believe it. And verse 7, "And my eyes have seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thee are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." So tonight, just want to talk to you about having a spirit of excellence about you and about all that you do. Right. Now Solomon, he had... at this point, anyway, had a spirit of excellence on his life. Amen. Now, you know, I understand Solomon had a lot of money. I mean, you know, you read the Bible, it says silver was counted for nothing in his days. They just piled it up. Hallelujah. And so, you know, he had the wherewithal to do some things that the normal person can't do, or, you know, they don't have the wherewithal to do that. But he, you know, but my point that I want to bring out is, it doesn't matter where you're at in life, it doesn't matter what your position in life or your financial status in life, you can still have a spirit of excellence about you. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? You know, one of the things that I appreciate about the comments that I get from guest ministers, one of the things they comment about is about the excellence and the cleanliness of the house of the Lord. You know, this may not be the Crystal Cathedral, but we can at least keep it clean. Are you with me? We can at least keep it repaired and looking good. And are you with me now? You know, if the carpet gets a big ugly stain on it that, you know, we can't get out, we can at least replace it. Are you with me now? See, there seems to be this mentality in some of the church, well, it's just the church, and so, you know, it doesn't matter all that much. Do you realize this is the house of the Lord? Amen. It matters more than our own houses. Right. Amen. And so, you know, I just figure that this, let's do it the best we can do it. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be, you know, wasteful or extravagant or be foolish, but we don't have to be cheapskates either. Amen. Amen. I don't like cheap churches that are just cheapskates. You know, and you know what? They're usually broke because that's the way they think and the way they talk. If they change their thinking and change their talking, there's plenty of money out there. Hallelujah. Amen. There's plenty of provision. Amen. How about sow some seed? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh gosh, we got to keep ourselves afloat. You know, Well, you can keep yourself afloat, you know. I read that letter to you, and I'm not bragging on us, and maybe I shouldn't even say this, but I read it out loud. I read the letter to you, maybe it was last Sunday morning. I don't know where. We didn't even realize we'd given $20,000 to Evansville Rescue Mission. They sent us a letter and said, you know, you guys have given us. We were just looking over our records and were thinking about you. And the president, which I haven't talked to him in years, but he used to pastor a church, and we had lunch together when he pastored the church. But anyway, the president said, you know, I'm thinking about you. And he said, I just wanted to send you a letter and let you know you've given over $20,000 to Evansville Rescue Mission.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Although I didn't know we'd done that. But it's just a matter of just being obedient to the Word of God and blessing people, helping people. See, we have to change our thinking sometimes. You know, we begin to think, you know, well, because people will say this, well, I can't use this anymore. I thought maybe the church might be able to use it. Well, I can't use it. Well, it's broke, but I thought maybe the church could do something with it. Yeah, throw it in a dumpster out back for you. All right. Or the trash can. Are you with me now? I have a friend. Oh, I haven't seen him. In years and years and years, but he said this one time when he's preaching, he said, you know, it might have been our church, I can't remember, not this church, but the first church I was at, I can't remember what church was doing it. But anyway, the church was taking up an offering for a missionary in Mexico. This is part of our, I think it was at the first church, that he was a missionary in Mexico, and he's part of our church, and we were taking up donations for him, and we were taking up clothing, you know. And so he said, you know, I went back in my closet, and he said, I went back there, and he said, I got these pair of cowboy boots that were wore out, you know, and I was going to put them in the, you know, the box, you know. And he said, when I reached up there, he said, the Lord said to me, he said, Keith, if you sow junk, you're going to reap junk.
Yeah.
He said, I put them back and got the good ones. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, you know, we're going to read some scriptures that's going to challenge us tonight. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I tell you, our God's a God of excellent.
Yes.
The Bible said He hath done excellent things.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When He made the earth, the Bible said that when He got done, He looked at it and said, it's very good. Not just good, it's very good. Can you only imagine what this earth looked like before sin? I mean, it's already beautiful, but just imagine what it was like. Amen. Jesus has a more excellent ministry. Amen. See, it's something you got to press into. Paul said, I keep pressing, man, for the high calling or the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. I keep pressing in there. Amen. Jesus said, go the extra mile. Amen. See, there's just too much mediocre in the church. I'm not getting on you. I'm just preaching worldwide. Here, you know, the whole church worldwide, there's too much mediocre in the church. You know, well, it's the church, it's good enough. Amen. I'll never forget, years ago I heard Brother Copeland saying he was doing an album, you know, and sometimes you'll get studio musicians, you know, and they're playing, you know, and he said, you know, we went through this piece, you know, and this guy's playing the guitar, you know, and he said, oh, let's do it again, and they did it again, oh, let's do it again, and finally the guy said, oh, that's good enough for gospel. Brother Copeland said, well, you're fired. Amen, because we ought to do it. You know, with excellence. Amen. Come on. See, you know what mediocre means? Mediocre in Latin means halfway up the mountain. You could have went to the top, but you only went halfway. The view's a whole lot better all the way up. Amen. Go to the book of Daniel, chapter 6. Let's look at this. I'm going to look at about 3 or 4 scriptures tonight, maybe 5. You mess with me, I might do 7. So, amen. You say amen, we might get done quicker. Amen. Daniel chapter 6. So you know, we need to have a spirit of excellence about us. That whatever we're doing for God, we need to do it 100%. You know, and this is going to challenge all of us tonight. Just to step it up in our thinking and step it up, you know, and have a spirit of excellence about us. Don't just, you know, come on, are you with me now? And when you come to the house of the Lord, you ought to know you're coming to the house of the Lord. And you ought to be prepared to come to the house of the Lord. You know, I was praying for a guy. Now, I'm not making fun of people that don't have any money. That's a different story altogether. But some people are just pigs. I get a little jab on me tonight. Look out. You know, but I was praying for this guy in his prayer line, you know. And it wasn't in our church, so it wasn't anybody here. It was another church where I was preaching at, and I'm praying for people, and I'm going down the line, and I get to this guy, and it isn't like he's trying to grow a beard. A beard's one thing, but this guy just, you can tell the difference between somebody's, see, John's growing a beard. I don't know if I could ever get there, but anyway, that's a good one. That's different. This guy's just unshaven. I mean, there's a difference.
Yeah.
All right. And I look at him, and he's got these filthy looking jeans on, a filthy sweatshirt on, and some mustard on it right here. And you want to know what he wants me to pray for him? That God will get him a wife. I'm thinking, go home, shave, take a shower, clean up, put some cologne on, and maybe some woman might look at you. But the way you are, all the prayer in the world isn't going to bring anything. This is beyond working of miracles here, brother. You smell like a gorilla and you look like one. You need to clean up. There's no excellence to that. Come on, you with me? I don't know. I feel punchy tonight. Anyway, what do I have for lunch? Hallelujah. All right. You got to have some excellence about you, you know. And people sometimes will come just dragging in I've made it. Why don't you come with some life about you? Come with some joy about you. I don't get it. Somebody has to explain it to me, and I don't think you're ever going to be able to do. Why people can have joy, why people cannot have any joy in church, and the minute you say amen, they're full of joy. I mean, if church punishes you that much, you need to get saved. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. Now, we're just talking about having a spirit of excellence about you. Be excellent in whatever you do for God. And whatever you do, period. Just be excellent about it. Now, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "It pleased Darius," he's the king, "to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three presidents." So over the 120 princes, he set three presidents over those 120, of whom Daniel was first or one of them, that the princes might give account unto them, and that the king should have no damage or suffer no loss. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, notice, because an excellent spirit was in him. He had something about him that went further than everybody else. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Excellence will get you promoted. Amen. Excellence will get you promoted. I never forget, when I was four, I was ever even saved. We'll finish reading this in a minute. But I never forget, before I was even saved, I needed a job. I was about 20 years old. And I needed a job. I was 19 or 20, and needed a job, and I read an ad in the paper, and it was an ad for a certain job in our area. And I thought, well, hey, I need a job. They want to hire somebody. I'll go. So I went. Now, here's the thing. The job that I was applying for, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have a clue. And so I go in for the interview, and I dress up. And so I go in for the interview. The guy interviews me, and then I leave. And then, he calls me, and he says, "I'm going to hire you." Great. I got the job. Only thing, I don't know how to do it. And so when I go there, to talk to him, he says, "You want to know why I hired you?" I said, "Why?" He said, "You were the only one that came to the interview dressed up. So I hired you." What was he? See, he saw something. Now, I need a lot of help, don't misunderstand, but he had enough sense to know not to come in there looking like a bum. Are you with me now? So what he saw was a little bit more excellence. So evidently in his thinking, he's thinking, I can use this guy because I can teach him what he needs to know. Now, he didn't know. I didn't know. Amen. I remember the first day on the job, first thing, he said, "I want you to go get this for me." And he told me what to go get. This was how dumb. Now, I'm pretty sharp at this stuff now. I learned. But I didn't know anything then. But, you know, it was like brass fittings, you know. And he said, I want you to go get me a 3/4 female brass fitting. And he told me what he wanted. And my first thought was, I didn't know fittings had sexes. I knew people did. I didn't know fittings was. So I had no idea. I didn't have a clue. I grabbed a fitting, took it to him, handed it to him, and he didn't say anything, and he used it. So I thought, that's a male. A female. Did I say female? That's a female. I learned. Well, explain it to me. Not now. It kind of works like men and women. Let's just say that. Let's just put it that way, all right? That's all I'm going to say. Amen. But I thought, you know, listen, the guy hired me because I came dressed up. So what I think what he saw was, you know, I can use this guy because this guy is showing forth some excellence. Amen. He didn't just come looking like a bum like everybody else. And but, you know, I'm sure he could have hired more. I know he could have hired more qualified people. I mean, because I didn't know anything. Now, I did learn, you know, because on the job I learned. But, hey. Now, notice this. Verse 4. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, one of the things you need to know is if you're going to operate by a spirit of excellence, not everybody's going to like you. Right? There's going to be a lot of people that, you know, you're not going to be popular with some people. Because some people don't like their slothfulness, their lack of excellence being shown up. But I don't know about you. I'd rather have God's blessing, amen, than people's favor. Amen. So Daniel, he had a spirit of excellence about him. And this is what got him promoted was his excellence that he had. And they said, we can't find any fault. They're trying to find something wrong with him. They can't find anything wrong with him. And because he had a spirit of excellence about him. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. Come on, are you with me now? Yes. Ephesians chapter 4. Go there. And you know, I don't know about you, but when the Lord comes back, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I believe he's coming back soon. You know, yeah, I want to be ready. Amen. You know, I want to be one that's found faithful. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, look what Paul said in Ephesians 4. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith you are called. Now, that's a really powerful verse. When you break that down, because he's saying that you could be called, you could be, you know, we're called to be sons and daughters of God. Right. Yeah. Amen. That's a high calling. And you could, according to this verse, you could not walk worthy of that. Right. Or you can walk worthy of that, either way. Now, the word worthy here means, it just means this, sufficient weight. In other words, God wants you to give sufficient weight to your calling. Right. What does that mean? Well, sufficient weight means you treat it like it needs to be treated. You don't just blow it off. You know, you just don't treat it like it's lightweight. It's nothing, you know. Amen. There's too many Christians that get saved and then they just treat it like it's, you know, it's nothing. Like I can do what I want to. They don't give it sufficient weight. But I'm going to tell you that there's no calling on the face of the earth that requires more excellent than the calling of being a son or daughter of God. That requires the most excellent of any calling there is. Someone asked Billy Graham years ago, said, why don't you run for president? He said, I don't want to take a step down. I'm already doing something higher than that. Now, the world doesn't think that way, but did you know our God does? Amen. Our God, you know, our God thinks that way. Our God realizes He knows the weight of being a son or daughter of His. And so as a son or a daughter of His, you and I, we've got to make sure that we give it the sufficient weight it deserves and we walk worthy of that calling. Amen. We don't just blow it off, but we walk worthy of it. You got to remember, and then we're going to talk about some things that we got to make sure that we're out in front of. But you got to remember that when not just in church are you a son and daughter of God, but out there in the world you're a son and daughter of God. Right. Yeah. Amen. And you have to give that plenty of weight and treat it with sufficient weight. Amen. And remember, that's who you are. And carry yourself honorably. Amen. You got to be honorable about things. I'll tell you right now, a lot of times, now, don't get offended at me, but, you know, I've been old enough now to know and dealt with Christians enough to know that, you know, people say, well, you need to use this company because the guy's a Christian. It means nothing to me. If he's a Christian and he's doing a job of excellence, I want to use him. But if he's a Christian and he's sloppy, I want to use a sinner that does it excellent. Are you with me? I'm not going to reward his sloppiness. You know, and I've seen that. You know, you got to use this guy because he's a Christian. Well, just because he says he's a Christian doesn't mean a thing to me. Maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. He may be a cheating liar and claim to be a Christian. I don't know what's with me tonight. I hope are you all right? Breathe a little bit, all right? But, you know, that doesn't mean anything. You know, it could be good. It could be good. I try to use Christians if I can, you know what I'm saying? Amen. I mean, I use a Christian barber. What do you think? What's so funny about that? My wife, she's a Christian barber. Amen. I use all the Christians I can. But I don't just use somebody because they're a Christian. I want somebody that's walking worthy of their calling. If you're a Christian and you're a business, you know what? You should be doing it with excellence. Are you with me now? You shouldn't be trying to rip people off. You shouldn't be doing it sloppy. You ought to be doing it with excellence. People ought to say, you know, I was reading a story. I have, you know, I get most of my sermons out of Reader's Digest. And so I was reading. That's a joke. I haven't read a Reader's Digest in years. But I used to read those things, you know, when they were kind of good. You know, I don't know what they're like now, but they kind of went south for me, and I didn't forget it. I'm not reading any longer. But I have some old ones, you know. I have some that go back to the 1940s, you know. And I was reading one of those years ago in about 1940s, and it was either right after World War II or near the end of it. I'm not sure. I can't remember the date, but it might have been near the end of World War II. And it was a story about British commandos, how they would train them to go in and, you know, do sabotage on German, you know, plants and bridges and different things. And they would train them to, like the one guy I was reading the article about, they trained him where he became part of the village where the Germans, you know, were occupying. And he was a British commando, but they inserted him into the public life there, and he started working at a gas station. And they trained him to be just mentally challenged, you know, and to talk funny and to act a little funny, you know, so they didn't suspect him. They actually, several weeks, he had to talk with marbles in his mouth. With rocks, I think, was in his mouth, so that he would speak kind of funny, you know, like he wasn't all there, you know. And so the Germans paid no attention to him, just thought he was a village idiot. But at the nights, he was going out and blowing their stuff up. But the guy that trained him, he said, I like the religious type. He meant Christians. I like them, he says, because they got more guts. They got more staying power. They're braver. I thought that's a good testimony. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way it ought to be. And especially us spirit-filled tongue talkers. You know, I told you one time I used to listen to a guy on the radio occasionally. He was on WVHI. And he was nationwide. Could have been probably in other countries too. And he was a great Bible teacher. But he didn't believe in, you know, being spirit-filled or speaking in tongues. He didn't believe in that, but he believed a lot of good things, and he had a lot of good right doctrine. Most of his doctrine was just excellent doctrine, you know. But, you know, there were a few things where he came up a little short of what I believe the Word teaches. But I liked what he said one time. You know, he believed tongues had passed away and that you didn't get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. But he said something one time. He said, "Now, I believe tongues are not for us today, but I will admit that those that speak in tongues seem to live holier lives than us that don't." I thought, wake up, brother. How could you get something that's not from God that'd help you? God bless J. Vernon McGee. He was a good man, and he was a good Bible teacher. He had a lot of good things, but he really was. But, you know, just come a little far. Now, he believes in it now, you know. He's in heaven. But I just got so tickled when he said that on the radio. I will admit they live holier lives than most of us that don't. Well, and that's a good testimony. Now, if he was alive today, he couldn't say that. Because some of the charismatics have gotten so sloppy in their walk with God. They've just gotten so sloppy. We're used to that used to be the truth. Brother Hagin used to say we had a lot less sickness in our days because people lived more consecrated lives. They lived more excellent lives, see. They were sold out. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now. You know. Now, all right. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're getting close here to getting done, just in case you're wondering. Well, we need to hear some of these things at times, you know. But we need to have excellence about us, amen, in all that we do. Whatever we do for God, do it with excellence. You know, whatever you do in the church, do it with excellence. Amen. My wife can tell you, I've been preaching now for, I don't know, since 82. And so, and she can tell you that when I'm preaching, I'm not out spending all day running around goofing off and show up at the last minute and say, well, let me grab something out of my notes. I'm praying. I'm spending time. I'm fellowshipping with God. Amen. I used to preach for a pastor, and, you know, I'm not trying to be critical, but I'm just trying to teach something. It's all right. I'm not naming any names, so we're good here. All right. But I used to preach for this pastor, and he would show up to church 45 minutes late. 45 minutes late. Now, when I'd preach for him, he'd normally be there because I was coming, you know. And, you know, he'd be there for his guest speaker. But if I wasn't preaching and he was just him preaching, I mean, he'd show up 45 minutes late, just praise team, keep it going while I get there. Now, that wasn't once in a while. He did it a lot. He did it all the time. You know, one of these people tried to complain to me about it, you know. I said, no, we ain't going there. I'm not coming to preach for your pastor. You're going to tell me what he's doing wrong. That's not ethical. So that's in-house stuff. No. But it was the truth. It was the truth. He was doing it. And so I watched. It didn't take too many years before he was out of the ministry. Because God's not going to bless that kind of sloppiness. Right? He's the pastor of the church. He's supposed to be setting an example. And if he's not coming for praise and worship, why should everybody else? Amen. You know, I mean, his team got a little frustrated at times, you know, because they'd have to keep things going until pastor finally showed up. Amen. See, we got to have some excellence about us. We got to remember who we are. We're sons and daughters of God. We conduct ourselves inside the church, outside the church with excellence. Hallelujah. We go the extra mile. Amen. Amen. Well, I hate my job. Well, that doesn't give you any right to be sloppy on your job. You still got to do it with excellence. You remember who you represent. Amen. You know, sometimes they say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Well, I mean, we shouldn't leave a bad witness in people's mouths, a bad taste in people's mouths. See, Paul told, if you're going to be a pastor, he said, you got to have a good report of those that are outside also. In other words, you're out business, doing stuff with the community. You're not a shyster. You're not doing things. You're operating with excellence. You're paying your bills. This is a really deep preaching tonight, but, you know, it's what was on the menu. You know, I tried to serve something else up, but the Lord said, no, this is what I want you to serve up tonight. So we need to just challenge ourselves a little bit, you know, step it up, be excellent in everything we do. Amen. Amen. What we do, you know what I'm saying? You know, it just reflects on the Lord Jesus Christ because we're sons and daughters of His. We got to have sufficient weight about that. We've got to think about that and think about who I am, who I belong to. And what people see. Amen. 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 You know, people judge you enough the way it is, but don't give them something. See, Paul said, you know, I think it was Peter said, if you suffer wrongfully, you know, if you're guilty, you don't have any praise or reward coming. But if it's wrong, you know, if you're suffering wrongly, you're falsely accused, well, that's a different thing. Amen. But if you're guilty, amen. Are you with me now? Amen. Now, all right, where did I tell you to go? 1 Timothy? All right, let's go there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. All right, thank you. All right, look what Paul said here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said this. He said, let no man, he's talking to Timothy, he said, let no man despise your youth. Well, you know, I don't have to worry about that any longer. But be thou, that I used to rely on that verse because I started when I was 21. I told Phyllis, can you believe at 21 years old I was telling people how to be married? But that was part of, you know, well, Paul didn't. He wasn't even married. But he had the word on it. Amen? Let no man despise you. There's a lot of things you learn when you do get married, you know, but the word's still the word, right? But let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And he tells us, listen, he says, be an example. And he's going to give us six things that we need to be out in front on, leading on, being an example in. And the King James, I'm reading now, the King James says, in word. In other words, in our conversation. Right. You know, when people hear us talk, they ought to hear us talk like we're believers. Amen. Amen. And so in our conversation. And now, in the next one, the King James says, in conversation. But that's just an old English word that used to mean conduct. So in our conduct, people ought to see the way we conduct ourselves and realize we're believers, right? You know, now let me just talk about this because this is probably real popular, but you know, you shouldn't go around grumpy all the time. And just quickly fly off the handle. One of the major tests in my life has been, and I'm better at it right now, but for a while it was a problem, was drive-thrus. Pastor Debbie said that's the first time we were going through a drive-thru, and I got in the flesh. And Pastor Debbie said, and she'd known me for a number of years, she said, that's the first time I've ever seen you get in the flesh. I thought, well, I must be doing pretty good, or you're not paying much attention. Because it had been years, we'd known one another. But, you know, and one day, I was going through this drive-thru, and I admit, some of these places need to train their people how to treat people. It is irritating. But I was going through this drive-thru, and this young lady was kind of rude, to be honest with you. And so I thought, you know, I'm just going to let her have it. And so I'm getting ready to, you know, fire both barrels at her, just let her know, you need a little training, young lady. You know, that's not the way you treat. And the Lord spoke to me. I heard an audible voice, but it was loud enough inside of me. I heard this. Everybody has a right to have a bad day. Yeah. Now, when I heard that, I stopped and I thought, now, what is he saying? Here's what he was saying to me. He's saying, you don't know what this woman just had happened to her. She could have just got a call or a text that her husband has been cheating on her. She could have just got a call of some really bad news, and now here you are, big Christian, you're going to pour hot water on top, or gasoline on the fire. You know what the Bible says? Don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Now that doesn't mean that there's not time some of those things don't need to be addressed, but in the proper way. Amen. Amen. Right? I had to dress it with a restaurant here, but I did it in the right spirit. I did it in love. I did it in a good spirit, and it produced good fruit. There was a restaurant here in town. I will leave unnamed. This is on podcast. But their employees were terrible. Every time you'd walk in there, they'd act like, oh, my gosh, customers. Ugh. And I'm thinking, hey, we are your bread and butter. We don't come, you don't get paid. You don't get paid, you don't eat. And I thought to myself, I thought, you know what? This guy here, his restaurant concept's fantastic. His food is great. But and he had more than one location. But in this location, his customers are going to kill his business if he doesn't get this corrected. His workers are going to kill his business if he doesn't get this corrected. It's a shame. Everything else is good, but his employees. So I thought, okay, all right. I'm going to do this in love. Because you see, there's a big difference when we do it in love. I didn't attack the employees. I talked to the boss. Y'all want to know which one it is. I ain't telling you. And I said, look, man, you got a great thing going here. This is a great restaurant. I love your food. But I just think you ought to know that your employees, they're just rude. They're just rude. And I'm not saying this to get them in trouble. I don't want anybody fired. I said, I just think they just need to be trained or something. Something needs to change here because this is going to hurt your business. He thanked me. And he gave me some coupons to the restaurant. He said, I'm going to give you, I think he gave me 20 bucks worth of coupons to come and eat, 20 bucks worth free. And he said, I'll fix it. And the next time I went in there, his employees were all nice. Of course, they were all changed. But they were all nice. Now I didn't want them fired. I just want them trained. Amen. Did you know that's one reason why Chick-fil-A does so good? Yeah. They have a spirit of excellence on the whole organization. And anywhere you go, believe me, I've gone to different ones around the country when Phyllis is with me. I like Chick-fil-A too, so we're cool. I think their food's great, And so anyway, but every one you go to is the same way. There's a spirit of excellence there. I've never met a bad employee. Now you may have, but I never have yet. They've all treated with respect and courtesy and efficiency, and they don't have to be open on Sunday because their excellence is calling them to be blessed and prosper. Amen. And you see that now. You see this. I've seen this over the years with businesses that had a good product, but they had lousy service. And eventually they just start going down. Amen. There's a fish place. I like their fish. I won't name it once again, but I like their fish. And they used to, they've had great business for years, and something happens. You know what I'm saying? Something in the management happened. And all of a sudden, the places started getting dirty. They started acting like, here's your fish, that kind of. And now, I won't even go back in there any longer. But it's customer service. Servanthood is a Bible principle, folks. It's one of the things that Jesus said would cause you to be exalted. And it works the same way in business, church, or anywhere else. It works out in the world just as well as it does in the kingdom. You got good service. Amen. There are companies that I don't really care for their core principles. I don't care for, their liberal things that they support. But God admit, they got service down and they're prospering. They're doing good. One of the things is because their service is so good. Amen. And so, see, you need to get it all wrapped together, and you really got something like Chick-fil-A does, where they got good priorities. They got good beliefs and so forth, and good principles, and support good causes, and then they also have great customer service. Are you with me now?
Amen.
Amen. And so we need that in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that as believers. Amen. Where we're operating, amen, with excellence, not just being slothful. Amen. I know we have busy days, but don't make it a lifestyle of giving God some prayer time on the way out the door. Have some excellence about you. Sit down. Take some quality time. I realize that life's busy. Maybe every day you can't do that, but there ought to be some time you do. Amen. And it ought to be regular, too. Amen. Amen. People grab those little snatches out of the promise thing, that little loaf of bread that's got the little promise cards in it, and you grab out of your scripture for today. That's like Bible roulette, folks. You need to be more excellent than that. Amen. Listen now, aren't you glad that people that, like pilots, that they make them be excellent and train and have recurrent training? What about God's kids? Amen. You know, like Dr. Barclay, his pilots, every year, you know, you got to spend thousands of dollars to send them to school to keep them current, to retrain them. Why? Because it requires that level of excellence, because you can't make a mistake up there and it's going to be okay. It's not. Amen. And listen, there's people's lives in the balance in the kingdom. Amen. I'm telling you, people, not you, but a lot of people just don't take this serious enough. They say, well, I'll go to church if I want to go to church. I'll pray if I want to pray. I'll serve God. I hope you come out of that, because if you don't, you got some sad lessons coming. Amen. All right, so in conversation or in conduct, notice this, verse 12, in charity or in love. So we're supposed to be out in front in love. All right, in spirit. What does that mean? In our enthusiasm. Amen. We need some enthusiasm about us to serving God. In faith, our faith life, we should be people of faith, not unbelief. In purity, in our way we live, we ought to be out in front in these areas. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, be an example, be out in front in these things. Lead the way in your conversation. Lead the way in your conduct. Lead the way in your love walk. Lead the way in your zeal for God. Lead the way in your faith. Lead the way in your pure life. Be the example of that. Amen? Amen. All right, let's close. Let's go to Malachi chapter 1. We'll close here. Did you get something tonight? Amen. We want to be vessels of honor. Amen. Vessels of honor. Malachi chapter 1. We'll close right here. We'll read this and we'll move on. Malachi chapter 1. Last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 1, and let's just start at verse 6. It says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? How do we do that, Lord? You offer polluted bread upon my altar. You see that? He said, you're despising me because what you're giving me isn't the best. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now, I don't know what your translation says. How many got King James? Yeah. All right, how many got something else besides King James? Okay. I don't know what yours says, but the word contemptible here, one of the meanings of it means that it can be treated lightly. It can be treated lightly. You know how many times over the years in church work that I've had people that were called that it was their job to be doing something on a service and they don't even show up? Well, it got quiet on that. I mean, you know, no call, it wasn't an emergency. We know people have emergencies sometimes. Don't misunderstand me. I understand that. But in our modern day, I mean, you know, years ago, communication was a little different, you know. I remember the three, you know, our Facebook, like I said, was a three-party line. So we knew what was going on in the neighborhood. Not by Facebook. We just pick up the receiver and listen to what they're talking about. But, and, you know, communication was hard. But today it's not that hard, you know. Well, why didn't you show up? Well, I just didn't feel like it. Well, that's not a good enough excuse. Now, in our church, we don't accept that. Not long. Well, that's how come you don't have very many people. That's all right. I'd rather have people of excellence than a bunch of freeloaders that you can't depend on. I'd rather have 10 people that are good than 500 that aren't. Are you with me now? I mean, I've gone to churches, you know. I mean, I've gone to preach in churches. And you get up there, and then the team gets up there. They got to kind of beg them to get up there, and they finally get up there, and they don't even know what they're going to do. Time for church to start, and they're digging songs out. Now, that don't fly here. Now, let the Holy Ghost lead you in change, but come prepared and be ready, and let Him change what you got prepared if He's going to do that. That's fine. I understand that. We will flow with the Holy Ghost. Are you with me now? We're not going to be sloppy about it. You know, Keith Moore said he went to preach for this church one time. years ago. I love this story. One of my favorite stories. One of them. I got many favorite stories. He said, I went to preach for this church one time. He said, and it was one of those churches like that, you know. He said, I got there, you know, it's out in the country, you know. And just because you're out in the country don't mean you got a right to be lazy, right. Sloppy. Right. God is out in the country too, believe me. Amen. He knows where Pike County's at. He knows where Boonville's at. He knows where Evansville's at. All right, so he says, I come to this church, you know, and he says, nobody's ready. You know, the preacher calls on someone, well, you want to lead singing tonight? Well, I'm just not up to it tonight, Pastor. You know, throat's a little scratchy, just not up to it. Well, how about you, sister? Well, I didn't bring my music with me. He asked another one, well, I didn't do this. He said, fine, that pastor. He said, all the light switches to the church were up on the stage. He said the pastor walked over to the light switch on the stage, slammed them all down, shut all the lights off, and said, go home. He said, come back when you're ready to have church. Brother Key said, he looked at me, said, I'm sorry. He said, they weren't ready to have church tonight. He said, I'm going to give you an offering anyway. And you can come back some other time. Hallelujah. Well, I can tell you more pointed stories than that. All right. I thought, now that is an example, man. I thought, you know, when he told that story, I thought, man, I've preached to that church a lot of times. Amen. Well, anybody got a song tonight, you know? I'm like, you guys are really prepared. And what you find out, when people aren't prepared like that, you know, they're just, you're not going to have much of a meeting. Right. And if you do, it's the mercy of God. Because they've treated the table of the Lord contemptible, like it's lightly, like it doesn't matter. Yeah. Right? Yeah. See, they get more prepared for their jobs than they do for their church. And the Lord said, that's contemptible. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had me seriously get up here and say, well, I don't know what I'm going to preach on, you know. Hey, let me see here. I don't know. Maybe Psalm 23. That's a good Psalm. No, I've already prayed and I'm ready. Now, I've been praying. Believe me, I've prayed before and I didn't get anything and I wasn't really ready, but it wasn't because I wasn't trying to be ready. And I maybe got it on the way to the pulpit. Amen. You know, when you first start, you got to have 35 days to get ready. Some of the people I'd have preached, you know, some of the younger ones here I'd have them preached, and they want at least 30 days. And I understand that. I'm not making fun of that. That's where you're at. But after you get a little bit older, God expects you to be a little bit more seasoned than that. You've preached 955,000 sermons, and you can't think of nothing from here to the chit from the seat and sit down. From here to the pulpit, I mean. You're in bad shape. Amen. Amen. All right, now. Verse 8, and if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you or accept your persons, says the Lord of hosts? And that's you know, God's just saying, look, what you're bringing to me, try and give that to your governor and see if he's going to take it. Amen. Now, verse 13, he went on to say, you said also, behold, what a weariness it is. Oh, man, it's just, I'll tell you, I'm just too tired. I'm just too tired to go to church. Well, what a weariness it is. Had a lady leave the church one time because she wanted to lead praise and worship but not come on Wednesday night. I said, well, that ain't happening. That didn't go over well, you know. And so I was nice with her. I just said, no, you're not going to do that. She said, well, I'm tired. I said, well, you think the other people aren't tired at her on Wednesday night? What do you think they did all day long? Lay around, eat grapes? I mean, come on. So what am I going to tell them? You're not here because you're tired. Well, then they're going to say, well, I'm tired too, so, you know. Well, I am too, so I'm not coming either. So let's just close the church. We're all tired. What a weariness it is. What is wrong with people? Phyllis says, I don't know. I'm not in charge of them. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? So she left our church, and she went to Pastor Carter's church. So he told her, you get back to Pastor Pearl's church. And then he calls me. He said, this lady came to my church and said she came from your church because you wouldn't let her lead praise and worship, which she didn't tell the whole story. There was a reason behind it, more than one reason, but that was a major reason. And she said, and this is years ago, okay. She said, he said, so I told her to get back to your church. I said, I wish you hadn't done that. I wish you'd just kept her. She didn't come back here, you know that. She's still looking for a church where she can lead praise and worship from home in her pajamas. But God's not into your sloppiness. And He's not into your half-hearted commitment. He wants it all or forget it. Are you with me now? He wants excellence out of her, just forget it. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, at least work on it. Are you with me? See, maybe you say, well, you know, I'm not tithing yet. Well, why don't you work at it? Why don't you try 1%? You know what you'll find? You'll be all right. Then you can go to 2%. Eventually you'll get your big boy pants on and get to 10%. Hallelujah. And find out you're just fine. You just trust God. Oh, that's good preaching anyway. Now, verse 13, behold, what a weariness it is. You have snuffed at it or sneered at it, says the Lord of hosts, and you brought that which was torn and lame and the sick, and thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, says the Lord? I mean, God doesn't have to just accept any old thing we do.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. You know, He doesn't have to accept that. You guys just haven't been where I've been, but I've been in some churches where it just, thank God, you know, they're not all that way, and most aren't. But I've been in some churches where I've preached a lot of churches over the years and been in some where I thought, my Lord, who is in charge here? I mean, come on. Let's have some excellence about us. Are you with me? I mean, come on. Think about it. Just put some effort into it. Amen. And so God doesn't have to just accept anything we bring. Any old, well, you know, I thought He'd just be thrilled with, you know, that I even showed up. No, He wants all of you, amen. He wants excellence out of us. Verse 14, but cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and he vows and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I'm a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. God said, do you know who you're dealing with here? I'm a great king. Amen. You just don't bring me anything. I mean, if you don't have anything, God knows that. But you know, he didn't bless sloppiness. I mean, if the president came over to your house and you know, well, you know, I got a couple stale biscuits here, you know, I can give you, and you know, some lukewarm coffee. I mean, most people got more sense than that. And God said, I'm a great king. Don't be bringing me half-hearted stuff. Do it excellent. I didn't know we were going to go this direction, but it was good anyway. Amen. Listen to this. I'll close with this. Here's what we need to do. We need to check and recheck things we're responsible for and take inventory of the areas of our life that could take inventory of areas of our life that could use some attention, where we need to step it up and have more excellence about us. Amen. Where we're operating at. God blesses excellence. He doesn't bless sloppiness. And when we have excellence, we're like Daniel. We can be promoted. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you get something out of this tonight? A little punchy, a little different, but I'll tell you what, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Aren't you glad Jesus did what He did with excellence? I love that scripture in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. He hath obtained a more excellent ministry. Everything He did, He did it with excellence. Hallelujah. And we can do the same thing and see the reward that comes with excellence.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.